Morning. We're going to read from Acts 4, verses 1 to 22. It's on page 911, our church book, church Bible. And I think we have going to have it on screen, I guess. Peter and John before the council. And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day. For it was already evening, but many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him his man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it, but in order that warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach it at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old.
Thank you so much, Ryan, for reading for us just then. And thank you, Dan, as well, for praying for us earlier on. I'm going to pray again, but please do keep your Bible open right now on page 911 and 12. We're going to be spending the next 20 minutes or so thinking about what the Lord is saying to us through this bit of the Bible. So let's pray, shall we? And let's ask for his help. Dear Father, we thank you so much that you are a God who speaks. And we pray that you'd speak to us right now. We thank you that you promise to speak to those who call on you. And we're doing that right now. Would you lift our eyes to see the Lord Jesus? And would you help us to have joy as we see just how good he is? Amen. Amen. So here's a question to get us started off. What is that thing that you can't stop talking about? What is that thing that you can't stop talking about? We've all got something, haven't we? Perhaps it's our favorite TV show or our favorite football team and the terrible run of results they're going through. Perhaps you love to tell people how Christmas was, or what your holiday plans are, or your children's achievements. What is it that you can't stop talking about? Well, think of it the other way around. What is it that stops you from talking about the things that are most important to you? Because some of those things that are important to us, we can't stop talking about. But other things that are important to us, we don't feel like we can talk about. I wonder if for a lot of us, it's fear. Fear of what others think about us. Fear of rejection. Fear of offending. Fear of the consequences. Perhaps it's fear of something else entirely different. Well, think about something else entirely different. There are some quirky things that we have, aren't there? There are some quirky things that we're very happy to talk about all day long, despite the fact that everyone around us thinks they're entirely weird. I meet up with a bunch of guys, friends, and we talk about ancient myths. And all of our wives think we're absolutely mad and weird and think that it's the craziest way to spend an evening. But we keep on doing it. We keep on talking about these things. Well, I wonder if it's joy that has something about keeping us talking. Joy that drives out fear. Joy that says, I want to share this with people, even though they think I'm weird. Joy and fear. What about talking about Jesus Day? What about standing up for him or choosing to live for him in a way that is open about the things that we believe? What do you feel then? Do you feel joy? Do you feel fear? Do you feel both? Perhaps you don't feel anything at all. Well, we're in the book of Acts this term, and we're returning to the story of the very earliest church. We're coming back to it, and the theme of the series of talks this spring is the kingdom continues. Remember, this time last year, we thought about the kingdom growing. Well, this time, we're thinking about the kingdom continuing. Because in these chapters of Acts, chapter 4 through to 8, that we're going to be looking at until March, we're going to see that the risen Lord Jesus continues to grow his church. It's not all plain sailing, as we're going to see. There are setbacks. There is opposition. There is suffering. Things don't go quite as well as perhaps they might have hoped. And I think that's deeply reassuring for us, isn't it? Because in our season, whether we're thinking about ourselves as a church or as individuals, we're in a season of going without knowing. We don't know where the Lord is going to lead us. There are going to be twists and turns. We don't know what's going to happen. But when we look at these chapters of Acts, we see that the Lord is with his people through it all. And so because of his goodness, because of the Lord Jesus' goodness, the kingdom continues despite the fearful opposition that his people face. We're going to see three parts of the story here in Acts chapter 4. Do keep your Bible open, page 911 and 12. The first thing we're going to see is that the Christians, well, Peter and John, were arrested, but the kingdom kept on growing. The second thing we're going to see is that they were tried in court, but they kept on testifying about the Lord Jesus. Thirdly, we're going to see they were warned to stop. But we're going to see that they were unwavering in their desire to keep on going. So let's get into it. Let's get into the passage and let's have a look at verses 1 to 4 of Acts chapter 4. So we're picking up this story partway through. In chapter 3, which has just come just before this, Peter, one of the apostles, one of the leaders of the early church, Peter has healed a beggar who was unable to walk. Now, everyone who saw this miracle was astonished. What on earth is going on? Peter begins to preach, saying that it wasn't his power that had healed this man, but rather it was the power of the risen Lord Jesus. Peter pointed the people to Jesus, calling on them to repent and turn to him and put their trust in him. Now, I don't know your story with the Lord right now. Perhaps you're here this morning and you wouldn't call yourself a follower of Jesus. Well, we're so glad you're here, if that's you. Listen in and see what you make of this Jesus that we're talking about today. Come and have a chat with me or with Ash afterwards. We'd be delighted to answer your questions. If you want, you can take away one of these free Bibles that we're giving out. We've been giving out a bunch over Christmas. There's a pile down here. These are free if you want to find out more about the Lord Jesus we're talking about. Come along to one of the discussion groups that we're running. Tuesday evenings, The World We All Want. We'll say a bit more about it at the end. But come along and find out more. Peter, when he was talking to the crowd in chapter 3, he said, you can't sit on the fence forever. The Lord tells us to repent of ignoring him, to repent of our sins, to turn back to him, and to turn and put our trust in him. That's where Peter went in his talk in chapter 3. And then at the start of chapter 4, as he was speaking, much like I'm speaking to you right now, the authorities come towards him. Just imagine right now that the police walk in through the door and arrest me. That's what's going on here in chapter 4. Have a look down at chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, and see if you can spot what's going on. See what those authorities did when they came in and stopped Peter. Have a look down, verse 2 and verse 3 particularly. See if you can spot for yourself what they did. Do you see verse 2? It says that the authorities were greatly annoyed that Peter and John were teaching and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That's one thing. They were greatly annoyed. But in verse 3, have a look, top of page 912. You see that those authorities came and they arrested Peter and John and put them in custody. They put them in jail overnight. They were going to bring them to court in the morning. I guess it was the evening when this happened. They were going to bring them to the court in the morning when it opened. Press pause there for a second. What would you feel like if you were in this story? How would you feel if someone walked in and arrested the preacher? I guess if I was talking and if the police walked in here and came up to arrest me, well, my natural inclination would be to stop, talking. But Peter and John, they didn't. Why is that? We're going to come back to that in a moment. But I guess if I was in your seats, if I was listening to someone and the police come in and stop them, I guess my natural inclination then would be to say, no thanks. I don't want to have any part of this if this is the cost. But you see what happens here. Have a look down at verse 4 and see what happens when the crowd sees the arrest happening in front of them. Have a look at verse 4. It says there, many of those who had heard the word believed. Many of those. Not everyone, but many of those. And the number of the men, it doesn't say anything about the number of women or children, but the number of the men alone comes to 5,000. Isn't that completely unexpected? An arrest happens, and far from stopping things, far from slowing things down, it's as if the growth accelerates. What's going on? What on earth is going on here? Why didn't they stop? Why don't they stop? Why is the opposition seeming to make the growth increase? Well, let's keep on looking, and let's have a look at our next section, which is down in verses 5 to 12. You see, the next part of the story takes place in that courtroom on the next morning. Peter and John, they're pulled from their jail cell and they're brought before the big court of religious leaders and authorities. The court, which would have been incredibly intimidating to stand in front of, asks them in verse 7, do you see what it asks them? They say, by what power or by what name did you heal this crippled man? They already know the answer. Peter said it in chapter 3, verse 16, that many of them would have seen it. But the court wants to put them on the spot and wants them to be scared and wants to shut them down. But Peter stands up. Peter stands up and, filled with the Spirit, he tells them, have a look at verse 10, what he says. He says, it's the Lord Jesus who's done this miracle. It's his name and it's his power that's done it. It's the same Lord Jesus that this very same court has sentenced to death just a few months earlier. It's the same Lord Jesus that this same court rejected and had shut down on the cross. This same Lord Jesus was still at work, not in person, but by his Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus is on the throne of heaven at this point, but by his Spirit, he's at work in the church, in Peter and John, in that man's life, and in the growth of the kingdom. Because Peter tells them, Jesus didn't stay dead. God raised him from the dead. And so this one that they had rejected as some poor, ill-fitting stone, well, this one has actually been shown to be the cornerstone, the most important one in the entire universe. So Peter is saying, this crippled man, you're asking me who healed him? This crippled man was healed by that Lord Jesus, because he is the only one. Do you see it down there in verse 12? He is the only one, the only name given under heaven by which people might be saved or healed. It's the same word in the Greek. He's saying to them, if you'll just repent of rejecting him, if you turn towards him for forgiveness, you will be saved. So Peter and John, they are being tried in court, and they are standing up and testifying to the goodness of the Lord Jesus, which is completely amazing, and it's slightly intimidating. It makes you think, how on earth are they doing that? I can never do that. So I guess the question we need to be asking is, what is it that helps Christians to keep going when the fear is crushing, when they want to run away? What keeps you going? Well, we'll see a reason down there in verse 8. Have a look down at verse 8, and you see it there. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Yeah? Peter and John were committed to the growth of the church. They wanted it to grow, but God wanted it to grow even more. The Lord Jesus is continuing to work in Acts. He's more committed to them than anyone else. He's more committed to the church than even the leaders of the church. And it's by him, by his Holy Spirit, equipping and enabling them, that they are able to continue. Now, the filling of the Holy Spirit isn't just limited to one or two apostles. The Spirit came down on the whole church at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And later on, at the end of chapter 4, we're going to see it next week, the church prayed for boldness, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever felt that. Sometimes it feels super spiritual. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it feels like standing up when everyone else is making fun of Christianity and saying, hang on a sec, guys, I'm a Christian. Being filled with the Spirit feels like that. It feels like carrying on, keeping on trusting Jesus when life is difficult. That is being filled with the Spirit. It's not super extravagant things, although it might be. Being filled with the Spirit looks like quietly keeping on going when you're tempted to give up. Quietly and patiently witnessing and sharing the good news of Jesus with your friends. Keeping on going when you're tempted to stop. That's what being filled with the Spirit looks like here. And that's what the church prayed for straight after what we're seeing today. And perhaps it's what you want to pray for this morning. Perhaps you want to pray just quietly in your heart, Lord, fill me with your Spirit so that I can be bold, to share the good news with my neighbour, or with my colleague, or with my classmates. Perhaps that's what you want to pray right now. But look, there's more going on here. There's more going on. Because Peter and John know that they follow a Jesus who himself faced opposition. That's repeated twice down there in Peter's little sermon. Have a look down at verse 10 and see if you can spot it. Peter says in verse 10, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead." It's repeated again in verse 11. He was rejected and then became the key cornerstone. Friends, that's the shape of Jesus' life. Okay? The shape of Jesus' life is cross, then glory. It's opposition, then vindication. It's difficulty first, deliverance second. That's the shape of Jesus' life. It wasn't straightforward, easy living. No, it was difficult first, cross first, then resurrection and ascension. And it's the shape of Peter and John's life, and it's the shape of your life here today as well, if you're a Christian. Cross first, then glory. Opposition first, then vindication. Difficulty first, then deliverance. I don't know how you feel when I say that. So often we feel like Christianity means that we're going to get an easy life. But that's not true. If you've ever been told that Christianity will make your life easy, you've been lied to. Because we follow a saviour who suffered. But that is also really good news. Because it means we get to walk the same way that Jesus walked. We get to be like him. We get to go on the road that he trod. We get the power of his resurrection at work in us, in our suffering. But even greater joy than that, the Lord Jesus walked the difficult roads we walked. For Peter and John, they were in the same courtroom that a few months earlier the Lord Jesus was hauled before the religious authorities. Jesus knew the inside of that courtroom. He literally knew what it looked like because he had literally been there. He had been there in order to save them. And so for us, although we're not in that same courtroom, whatever you're walking through, whatever you have walked through, whatever you will walk through, in Jesus we have a saviour and a king who sees it, who knows it, who understands it. We've got a saviour king on the throne in heaven who's also experienced difficulty down here. And I think that changes everything. Because he says to us, "I've been in this dark valley. I know the way through this dark valley to the other side." He says, "I'm with you in this dark valley. You don't need to fear evil here. My rod and my staff, they'll protect you." It's Psalm 23. That's what Jesus says to us because he went to the cross first and then went to glory. And I think that changes everything. It doesn't make it easy, but it brings you joy amidst the fear. It helps you to keep on going. Helps you to keep on testifying even when you're in court. Our third section takes place after Peter and John have left that courtroom. So that they've been kicked out of the courtroom so that the authorities in the court could deliberate and decide what they're going to do with these guys. And I wonder, have a look down at verses 13 to 18 and see if you can spot a couple of ways that the authorities responded to what Peter had just said to them. Have a look down at 13 to 18, just for a moment or so. Verse 13 says, "They were astonished. They saw that Peter and John were uneducated, common. They were normal people. But at the same time, the authorities spotted that they were incredibly bold. They were courageous in the way that they stood up and spoke to the powerful, intimidating opposition. The authorities recognized that they'd been with Jesus. Something of Jesus had rubbed off on them. They'd learned from him, but more than that, they picked up something of who Jesus was by spending time with him. And that was recognizable to those authorities in that court. But do you see how else they responded? Did you spot the other way they responded? They didn't respond with faith. They responded by rejecting it. They grudgingly accepted that a miraculous healing had perhaps taken place, but they were completely unmoved by what had happened. I say unmoved, they were moved in that they wanted to shut the whole thing down. So they told Peter and John to shut up. And I wonder, have you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced someone telling you to stop talking about Christianity? Have you ever experienced someone telling you to stop living as if you're a follower of Jesus? For some amongst us, and Ash alluded to it, particularly our Iranian brothers and sisters, well, their government back home, the police, the religious authorities there, they tell you to shut up about Jesus. It is true of different parts of the world as well. And friends, we are so glad you're here with us, and we have so much to learn from you in this. So please help us to learn how to respond when the world tells us to shut up. But coming back to Acts chapter 4, and we see that Peter and John, they were warned to stop. But do you see the way that they replied? Have a look down particularly at verses 19 to 20. Because what they say is astonishing. Do you see it down there? Peter and John answered them in verse 19, "Whether it's right in the sight of God to judge, to listen to you than to God, you must judge." But here's the key bit, verse 20, "For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." They're saying we cannot help speaking about that we've seen and heard. We can't stop talking about the Lord Jesus because he's that good. They're saying it's all we can do just to keep on going on, but we're not going to stop talking because he is amazing. You can tell us to stop, but we won't stop talking about Jesus because we delight in him. That's what they're saying. They're looking back on a few years of spending time with Jesus. You know the story if you know the Gospels. Peter and John, they were fishermen. They were simple, honest men. They were doing their daily work, minding their own business. And then one day the Lord Jesus comes up to them and says, "Come and follow me." And they drop everything and they follow him. He's completely compelling. That's all they could do, just to follow him. They spent years walking with Jesus and living with Jesus. They saw up close the kinds of things he did. They saw the miracles that he did. They saw the things that he did. They saw the way that he welcomed and showed kindness to the most unlikely people, the people that perhaps didn't deserve kindness. They saw the way that he showed kindness to people with big regrets, people with big mistakes, people with even bigger sins, with big shame, big fear. People like them and people like us. Peter himself, well, he messed up many times and he misspoke even more times. And yet Jesus gave him a fresh start. Jesus gave him forgiveness and freedom to serve. John, well, perhaps his sins weren't quite so glaring, but he became especially close friends with Jesus. And John himself, in his gospel, he starts off by saying Jesus is the Word of God, with God in the very beginning, the creator of all things, and he's my friend. Isn't that amazing? That's what John's saying. God is my friend. That's what they saw. They saw him go to this same court that they were in. They saw him be unjustly murdered. They saw his greatest miracle of all. They saw his empty tomb just outside the city. They met him after he'd been resurrected. They met the one who defeated death by dying. They saw how much it cost him that Jesus might be the only name given under heaven by which people might be saved. Then they saw him ascend to heaven, and they saw him continue to be present with him by his Holy Spirit, and they saw him continue to grow the kingdom amongst them. And they saw all that. And friends, so have you. So have you. You might not have seen it with your eyes. You weren't there in Israel 2,000 years ago, but we have our Bibles. And Jesus says to Thomas that it's more blessed to see it in here than it is to see it with your own eyes. How could they not talk and not live for the one they delight in, the one who delights in them, the one who delights in you? This wonderful Jesus who lived, died, and rose for us, the only one by whom we might be saved. Delight, joy, wonder. So friends, as we draw to a close here, the kingdom continues to grow despite opposition. They were arrested, but the kingdom kept on growing. They were tried in court, but they kept on testifying to Christ. They were warned to stop, but they were unwavering in their desire to keep on going. Why? Because God helped them. And because the joy outweighed the fear. The joy of Jesus' Spirit living in us. The joy of walking with Jesus through difficulties. The joy of knowing and seeing and hearing Jesus. Peter and John, they were let go by the court. There's no promise that that will happen to us. There's no promise in the Bible that we won't be killed for our faith. Peter ultimately was, John wasn't. But after Jesus' death came Jesus' resurrection. After the cross comes glory, and it will be the same for you if you're a follower of Jesus. The kingdom will continue, and so will you, because Jesus' name is the only name given under heaven by which we might be saved. Amen. Amen. We're going to take a few moments for quiet reflection. Musicians, if you're able to come up and get ready. But we're going to take a couple of moments of quiet. What is it that the Lord's saying to you? What is it that you want to say back to him? Perhaps you want to pray for that joy. Perhaps you want to pray for being filled with the Spirit to be bold. A couple of moments of quiet and then we'll sing.